Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, can you guess why I'm extremely excited about today's show?
Yes,
you can. I bet you can. You've got the answer to that.
I've got it. All right.
I'll start by saying we have Patrick Cooper. He's the owner of Patrick Cooper Creative Services. Done some unbelievable things for many of your endeavors, including the journey to their website. And me and this guy have a lot in common. But Tracy, what's your guess as to why I'm just so excited about this episode?
Because his name is Patrick, and I emphasize his name is Patrick, which means, hello, listeners, testosterone alert ahead.
I'm finally not outnumbered here. So
I know, this might be the last time, depending on how it goes.
We've got another guy on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we are hanging out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth. I think my energy level is up now. I can hear it. Subscribe on iTunes. We stream on Empower Radio Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and we are on the awesomely designed website at journeytothere.com. That's props to you, Patrick Cooper. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How are y'all doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, do I already need to break in? No, I'm just kidding.
You're just standing there ready.
I've got my armor
sitting
on.
There
I'm on my bouncy chair.
On your bouncy chair.
I'm surrounded by like a barrier of estrogen so that I can compete today. No, I'm just kidding. I am so excited to have Patrick on the show, and here's why. Because I normally get to talk to him just about almost every hour of every day, except for when we're recording. And so now, today, Patrick, I get to talk to you every hour of every day today.
And Patrick, she's going to call you three times at least during this show.
Probably text you, because I'll think of something that needs to be done for one of my clients while you're talking. So just, you know, you might want to turn your phone on to vibrate.
By the way, Patrick, she doesn't wait till the last minute to get information to you, does she?
No. She waits to about 3 hours after the last minute.
Oh, I see how this is going to be. I see it. Okay, I was just about to say something so nice about you, and I'm still going to do it. So here, one thing, Patrick, you may or may not know is that our show, Journey to There, is all about the intersection between personal and business growth. And the reason for that is because in all my years of consulting, which is about the last 12 years, and then the last 18 or so before that, and working in the broadcast media business, I found that most of the barriers to growth, especially for entrepreneurs, gender not specific, is that they are having a tremendous challenge balancing their personal life and their business life. And a lot of times when they're in a big growth spurt for their business, then their personal life suffers. And when their personal life is in a ditch or just not going as planned, then their business growth suffers. So in thinking about our title for today, all of these things came full circle, because the title of our show, or our topic, is Shoemaker with No Shoes. Mm. And I'm just going to go ahead and introduce this part of your life, because I do think it is such a wonderful part of your life. And so it would
let's explain the shoemaker with no shoes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you see, that's such my assumption that everybody knows that because I live it. So I apologize. Good call, Russ. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for. So hold your hand sometimes.
Okay. So for those of you who do not have it, and I think that might be one listener out there, I'm not sure. If this is you, you're the listener that doesn't know the phrase shoemaker with no shoes, because you've got it all figured out. A, we need you to be our next guest on the show. And B, I'm about to tell you what it means. It means that the cobbler spends so much time looking after his customer's needs that he has no time for his children's. That's the literal translation, and it originated out of a Spanish phrase, which we're so fortunate that I can get that translated for us on the spot.
Wait, I want to hear Tracy give it a shot. Can you say it?
Oh. It has casa in it.
It has.
I thought that's as good as it gets.
It's en casa del herrero cuchillo de palo.
Oh my gosh, you have to say that again.
I don't know if I can. All right. En casa del herrero cuchillo de palo. I think I said that right.
You did.
It sounds like I said it right. And the translation is?
Yes, and the translation again, just because I know so many people need to know what this means, is it means that the literal translation is, it means that the cobbler spends so much time looking after his customers' needs that he has no time for his children's.
Okay, so Patrick's kids have no shoes, is that what you're saying?
Well, that was going to pretty much be my segue, because if you want to talk about the intersection between personal and business growth, this one's got it down pat. I've been working now with Patrick for the last 3+ years, and the entire time he's been a stay-at-home dad to his precious little girl, Addie Kate, while multiply juggling many projects. And when I say multiple, a lot of those are mine, in addition to all the other hundreds of millions of projects that he's working on. And I've watched him do this so successfully over the last 3+ years that I wanted to hear some secrets about that. And Russ, who I've worked with for over 20 years, I've watched do that very successfully, especially in the last, 11 years? Am I getting that right? That you've been a stay-at-home dad?
Just turned 10. Just turned 10.
So close. So basically, listeners, here's the thing. I'm just going to defer to these guys to tell it how it goes, because I don't have any idea how to operate without Shoemaker with their shoes.
Patrick.
But I do have some statistics and some research I can throw in that makes me sound smarter.
And somewhere along the lines, you've got to have a quote that we can put on a T-shirt. Patrick, we have
I got one.
We've got a lot in common, because I was a creative director for a very large and successful marketing agency. And when my wife got pregnant, my first midlife crisis. I guess it was a pre-midlife crisis. And I actually had a breakdown in a Babies R Us, because I was like, what do we need this for? What do we need that for? And I lost it. But anyway, my point is, I realized, you know what? This is not going to work. And as right after he was born, I went into my boss's office and I said, you know what? I think that I'm not going to do this anymore. And they kind of had a feeling that it had something to do with the baby. And they were like, you want to work from home, don't you? And I worked from home for the company for about 6 months, and then I launched my own business. I wanted to focus on my son, and the business was kind of a secondary thing when he was taking his naps.
That's awesome.
So let's hear your backstory.
Well, I was working at Mercer University for two and a half years. At first, I was in admissions as a marketing specialist. I did a lot of graphic design, a little bit of web development stuff within the department. And then from there, I moved across campus to the athletics department. So I went over there and I headed up all of the media for, the video boards and in the arena, did some graphic design, a little bit of web stuff as well. But what came with that change was not just an office job, but also a kind of event management kind of job as well. So where I would go in the morning and sit at a desk and do my preparations for whatever upcoming event we had. And then when that event came, whether it was women's soccer, a basketball game or something,
right?
I'd go right from my office to that event. So it would be a 9 to sometimes 11 or midnight job.
And what got you to the point? I mean, eventually, I guess, the wife got pregnant, and what changed at that point?
Well, she was already pregnant when I made that move. I think I saw college sports more than I was really, I don't think I was really thinking clearly. I think everybody would probably agree with me at this point.
But pre-baby shock.
Yeah, that was before, things really got real.
They get real fast.
See, listen, I was very lucky. Addie Kate was an incredible baby. She cried very little. She was sleeping 8 to 8. By about 3 months. So I've been very, very lucky. It has not actually gotten real until recently, when she can actually have opinions and form full sentences. That's when I would say it has gotten real.
How old is she now?
She will be 3 on September 28th.
Okay.
She's a little firecracker.
She is adorable, actually. I've had the pleasure of meeting her, and I do agree that she has the ability to express opinions very well, and she definitely knows what the word no means. So that I've seen firsthand.
Is it harder to juggle things with your daughter or with Tracy?
You remember, you're my client.
Yeah, I'm gonna plead the fifth on that one.
No, you can answer it honestly. We're all about transparency here on Journey to There. I'm strapped in with my metal armor suit.
She's
now,
ready.
Truth be told, working with Tracy has been awesome. She's opened a lot of doors for me and gotten me involved with some clients that I otherwise never would have even had a line of communication with. So it's very different working with a three-year-old and working with Tracy, contrary to what you may think.
Well, one thing I know for sure is that as she has aged, because that's essentially, I've been working with you since she was a small infant, and when we used to, and this is all about that, like, personal life balance situation, how you work so well around it. When she was a little baby, I could pretty much reach Patrick anytime except for when Atta Kate was eating her lunch, which, by the way, listeners, I literally knew what time that was. And then as she got older, I loved when I will be, and I still do, love when I'm actually talking with Patrick about a client or edits on a site or brainstorming about how to kick a business up a notch with a new website. And in the background, it used to be just like little, like, happy little, like, tunes, like she might have been like playing with her feet, and now it's like, Daddy, snack.
Oh, man.
So for me, that's been great. So, but I will say, Patrick, that I have been doing research, as I always do before we open the mic for our topic, and I really was fascinated by the fact in multiple articles that I read that one of the industries or service businesses or just in general jobs that have the biggest case of what is literally referred to as shoemaker has no shoes syndrome is the one of the biggest persons impacted by that who have it are web designers. So I just really wondered if you were surprised by that, or if you're like, well, yeah, duh.
Wait, Tracy, are you trying to say that the Journey to Their website looks better than the Patrick Cooper website?
Well, I'm not going to say that because he builds my website. So this is kind of a weird dynamic we have going on here. But I will say this, because I only like to speak of things that I know factually, not secondhand, is that for the longest period of time, probably the first almost 2 years, if you concur with me, Patrick, on this one, you didn't even have your website, or you had it and it was like a one page type of thing with your contact information, right?
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. It was a one page, but you could kind of move side to side, see a little bit of, you know, some about me, a little bit about my work, and then just a little, you know, contact me section. But yeah, essentially, you know, it just kept getting put on the back burner, and it's hard to explain that to clients because they're like, oh, you don't have your own website? I'm like, well, I'm too busy working, you know, for all of
I'm
you.
I'm trying to perfect yours.
Yeah, there's no real good way to explain that, so I, you know, ended up staying up late a few nights and just knocked it out. And, of course, what I have now is just very basic and simple as well, but it does.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
Well, and oh, I would like to take credit for some of that because, you know, it is all about me. And I think the reason that you have a website now is because for this entire 3 years, including today in this moment, I've been saying to Patrick, I really need to get my website built. This is my TracyDeForge.com site, but I've really got to get this done first and this client's done first and this and this and this. And I mean, we have built collectively together over the last 3 years, I haven't even counted, but I would say it's numerous, you know, definitely more than two hands of worth of websites together in this window of time. One of them is not mine. And so finally, after I was just beating myself up over it, but doing it verbally to Patrick, which he did not deserve, then finally I said, can we just get up like a page that says TracyDeForge.com, consultant, speaker, strategist, contact me here, because I have all of these great opportunities. And as I've mentioned before, you know, a tremendous amount of my business is referral based, but that is not a scalable way to grow a business. And being a business consultant strategist, I can't say, oh, just build a splash page. I did it. I mean, that is like no, that is not walking the walk and talking the talk. So, Yeah, so now I've put it out here to the world, like the literal universe, that I need to complete TracyDeForge.com. But in the meantime, I love it that Russ brought up Journey to There, because this also goes a little bit to the theories around Shoemaker Has No Shoes. And one of the theories around it is, if you're not like really super compassionate about it, and this is in terms of loving your job, being involved in your career, doing something that you love to do, then you're really not going to put it on the front burner. And I'm using this as my case specifically, is I had that Journey to There website built out. We started working on it in October, and because
it's almost a year now.
Right. But it was a very extensive build out. I would probably, Patrick needs to speak to that more than me, but it was launched on time. I met just about every deadline. I can't say I met every deadline, but I made a honest effort to make every deadline, and I had a team involved. I was accountable to them, and it launched on the day that we launched the podcast. And so that to me just shows I'm capable of doing my own website. It's just that I was much more in love with launching Journey to There and that side of my business. And so look at that. It got done, right?
Yeah, no, and it, I will attest to that being a very easy project compared to some others that I've done in the past. Everything was really on schedule. Everything was very specific, and all the information was provided to me. So it was definitely.
Let us clarify that statement. Easy. Did you mean in addition to the other sites that I work
on? No. I didn't necessarily mean yours. I just meant, you know, some people they show up, they hand me a check, and they say, you know, build me a website, and then they walk away. And sometimes I literally don't hear from them ever again.
Oh, yeah. There's like, a lot of clients like that.
Yeah.
Okay. That would freak me out. I mean, because you're so talented, you do that for me sometimes. And it's kind of like Russ, I never know what he's going to ask me when we open the show ever. And so I'm always like, oh God, what? Like, I don't know. Is this going to be, am I going to be able to handle this one?
I put her on the spot at the beginning of every show.
Every day, every time. And so, but I have learned over these now 36 episodes to trust the process and know that Russ is not going to throw me under the bus intentionally. And then the same with you, Patrick. I've opened websites that you've almost completely finished, and I've been like, wow, like that saved me a lot of time. So I can't imagine, though, a client that wouldn't be involved in the process. So does that really happen to you a lot?
Yeah, it does. Sometimes it's, oh, we got busy, and I hear from them a year later, and we just pick up where we left off. Sometimes that can be a struggle for me to fit it back into the workflow, but I'm always happy, especially if they've already given me like a down payment or something. I'm always happy to hear from those people again, because the last thing I want to do is, you know, have that up in the air, like, okay, do I owe them money, or do I owe them work, or do they not care?
Or perhaps they owe you money for a final payment, so you'd like to get it.
We've had some episodes on that.
Yeah, and that's another, you know, daily struggle. I could talk all day about, you know, getting paid. But
he needs to listen to some of our past episodes.
That too. But you know, I'm pausing you because what you just said is a very interesting characteristic and trait of business owners that fall under the Shoemakers with No Shoes syndrome, and one of those issues is financial reconciliation and invoicing and collecting money, because they are so focused on delivering this quality product, and they love what they do so much, because I know you love what you do, and I know I love what I do. Okay. And I know Russ loves what he does. And sometimes, as crazy to anybody listening as this might sound, if you don't operate this way, money is kind of the second, like it's the afterthought, even though obviously we want to make it, earn it, and pay our bills with it. But I will send out things that are deadlined, you know, for my clients well before I'll sit down and do my own invoices. And I've literally made a conscious decision. Well, technically, I have to back up and say I don't do them anymore for this reason. Someone else does them for me, because I was losing money. I wouldn't remember until like almost the 15th of the month when I was paying some bills. Like, dang, oh, I gotta send out my invoice.
Or I've been at that point where it's like, you know what? Did I even invoice that client for something I did for them? Because you know you get so busy. One thing I want to ask you for a little insight, because I know we have a listener or two or 10,000 that has that situation where they'd like to do what you did, the examples of what I did, where you know they are raising a small child, but they do have an idea for a business, or they've launched a small business and they haven't been able to do anything with it. How did you go about being able to juggle the two?
First off, you know, doing some of the freelancing prior to actually going out on my own, that really prepared me for kind of the management part of it, being able to juggle, you know, a full-time job and then, you know, some side projects,
right,
you know, that I just use for fun money on the side there. But once I finally made that jump, once my wife and I finally said, okay, you know, we have to do something, this is not working. So, I put in my notice and, you know, dove right in. I already had a handful of clients that were waiting for me. And it really didn't take much. I mean, it takes all the necessary tools to run any successful business. You've got to have a little bit of drive. You've got to have a lot of, I'm not sure what the word
time.
I'm looking for is, but you got, yeah, well, you got to have the time.
How did you find the time? With, I mean, were you designing websites during the naps? Were you popping the kid in front of Teletubbies to watch the show while you got a little work done?
When she was little, she would really, I mean, we have one of those little baby gates. It's nothing more than a cage.
So you would just lock her up. You'd lock her up in jail. You're in jail. I got to get some work done.
Essentially, yeah. I had her in my office. We just recently sold our house, so I had her in our office there. And it was one of those, it was maybe 20 linear feet, so it would pretty much fill the room. So she could do the whole room. She just couldn't go out the door or, you know, get behind the cord.
She had a really large playpen, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. But one thing I could always say about her, she is so good at just entertaining herself. You know, by, you know, 6 months, I'd turn around and she's got all of her blocks like stacked in one giant tower. And she's just like looking at it, just, you know, admiring her work. And it's always just been about her just sitting there doing her own thing. And I couldn't have done it without her being so well behaved. And that even stands today. You know, I get kind of bad sometimes. I'll just pop on a movie when I've got to get some stuff done.
Right.
But, you know, even still, she's got all these little trinkets. I swear she's going to be the lady that has a yard sale that has a table full of little 50-cent trinkets all over the place.
Collectibles, they're called.
I want to rewind a little bit because you're not giving yourself enough credit, because you're almost saying, you know, we were blessed to have such a well-behaved child. There is something to it where when a child is raised by a parent or both parents, specifically a mother or father, and not by a preschool, I think that has a lot to do with a child's behavior.
Yeah, and it does. And we did the preschool thing. Well, she's in quote unquote preschool right now. That's actually where she is literally this very second. But when she was very little, we tried, you know, before I quit my job or resigned, however you like to put it, we did the daycare route. I think made it about a week before she got like crazy sick. And I was like, okay, this is not going to be a fun process.
Right.
We actually had a family friend, Shirley Brown. I've known her literally my entire life. She is Canadian, but she has her American citizenship, I think. But she is an amazing woman. She lived behind my childhood home. They just recently moved up into North Georgia.
Uh-huh.
But she actually offered to take care of her instead of sending her to daycare, which was awesome.
Unbelievable. Makes an unbelievable difference. All right, now what we do Tracy's Takeaways, and that's coming up on the way. We are talking now with Patrick Cooper, and you can find him on his website. It's hirepatrickcooper.com. Tracy's Takeaways coming up. When we come back, we're going to see what Tracy takes away from this episode, and I always put our guest on the spot, so we're going to see if Patrick has something to take away from the show as well.
But I'm talking first.
Tracy's got to talk first. Got to get her takeaway.
I was silent for like 50 minutes. It felt like.
I thought you hung up.
You could see the steam coming out of her ears.
I was like, me, I want to say something, me.
Okay, Tracy's takeaways coming up right after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
And we're back with Patrick Cooper and, of course, Tracy. She hasn't had a lot of say in this show because of all the the testosterone on the show today.
Yes. The T today does not stand for Tracy. That's been for sure. But that's okay because that's the way I wanted it. I adore stay-at-home dads and I adore...
You're surrounded by them right now.
I know, and I love it. And I mean with that with all sincerity because, you know, at some point in my life, I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, so I just have to live vicariously through you guys, so it's amazing. Okay, so with the takeaways, here's the thing. I thought to myself, it can't just be the three of us on the show that suffers with shoemakers with no shoe syndrome. So I started digging around and started trying to figure out, okay, so who else is? What kind of businesses does it fall in most frequently? And what personality traits go along with it? So if you've only listened to this episode, this will not shock you, but if you've listened to many of our other episodes, you know firsthand that I struggle literally with a workaholic addiction. And one of the research magazines, internet articles, whatever you want to say, that I read about says that one of the largest traits of shoemaker with no shoe syndrome are for workaholics. Here's the thing. I thought that meant, well, yeah, because you're just like working all the time. But what it came down to was really about workaholics have the syndrome because they have fear that time spent on pursuits that do not generate direct revenue will suffer their business, or peril their business. So I thought that was such an interesting take to think, okay, I'm not going to do my invoicing, that does actually impact your business, but I'm not going to do this. I'll get around to the social media. I'll get around to this blog post. I'll get around to all these things because I've got to make money by getting new clients. I got to get, this client has to pay me. So it's just like this feverish hamster wheel. So one of the takeaways is to really look at and identify why you are choosing to put your clients' needs against your own. And workaholic tendencies cover a lot of different reasons. And one, of course, is about being scared that if you do the menial stuff, that it's going to impact your business in a negative way. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and I've spoken about this for my own personal history on the show many times, is that it's about neglect. So that is a really even like a more psychosomatic kind of really got to dig a little deeper on it, because it's essentially saying that your worth, client X, is more important than my worth. So I will miss my kids' soccer game or lose sleep or not eat healthily or not exercise or all of this kind of physical, mental, spiritual saboteurs that we do in order to please our clients. And that is just, that really gets everything off balance. And I'm a testimony to that. And so that this really speaks to me from my heart. But it is something that you can work around in that you can make yourself accountable to others and to yourself, that if you are going to say, like, I'm not going to work past the hours of 9 to 5 or 10 to 8 or 2 a.m. to 11 a.m., whatever whatever your work schedule is that you work for yourself, and try to honor that. And for anyone that's a work addict and a self-neglector like me, that's way easier said than done. So you have to start off with like increments and baby steps and just like start putting some parameters into place for yourself before you have the crashed out being the fetal position on the corner of New York City in front of the
FAO
toy store.
Shorts.
Nobody wants that. And that was me. So the other thing that we have really alluded to this quite frequently, but I want to put a superstar by this takeaway. If you take nothing else away from our episode, then please take this away as an action item, and that is to invest in a team. And that is really scary for startups. It's really, really scary when the cash coming in is not maybe allowing you to afford the quote-unquote luxury of cash going out. But what ends up happening when you think you can do it all yourself to save money is that you really do negatively impact your business. So for me, it took some really hard lessons in the years of starting my business because it was a new business. And, you know, I jumped off the cliff a lot like you two did. It was like, I'm going to start my own business. See ya. And so I did it with faith and confidence, but I didn't necessarily, you know, set the world on fire the first, you know, I don't know, 3 months. I'm just kidding. that I started it. But I learned the hard way that being able to afford a team is actually not a luxury. It's a necessity. So you can start out, you know, we always talk about awareness versus action because you can be aware that you need to hire a team, but if you don't take action to do it and figure out ways. So there are so many things that you can do. Like I know, Patrick, you use a lot of these freelance and online services when you sub some things out, and that works great for you, right?
It does. In most cases, yes.
I want to just throw something in here before we get to Patrick's takeaway. You know, there's what we were looking at as a problem where, you know, you're spending so much time fulfilling your client's needs and not taking your own. And the example would be like, you know, I gotta get these websites done, and I still have to finish my own website. I think that's better than the opposite, to where you have so much time on your hand and you have such an amazing, beautiful website, but you don't have any clients to fulfill. The problem
Then you don't have Shoemaker with no shoes. You're sitting fat and happy with a pair of Gucci's on.
No, you're not. You're not sitting fat and happy because you can't.
In your mind.
You can't afford those Gucci's. You got a business that looks great, but nobody's coming through the door.
And that is a great point, Russ. And I want to add that to my takeaway as I wrap up mine. And that is,
Are you stealing my takeaway?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm enhancing it. I'm enhancing it because it was such a good one that I wanted to reframe it in this way, that because what you said was so impactful in that.
Take it and run with it.
Okay.
It's yours.
So you may think that when you define a team, you may think of a team as being somebody that helps you with your bookkeeping or helps you with your admin support, or somebody you can sub out for a job that will get done faster than if you do it yourself. But sales and marketing is a huge void for people who have Shoemaker with no shoes syndrome. So recruiting or working with someone who can sell and market your business for you is, I have seen so many businesses, and this is a sad thing for me to say out loud, but this is why I want everyone to hear it. I've seen so many businesses fail because they had all the right things in place, but they did not want to pick up that 900-pound gorilla phone and make a phone call for new business. Right. And I have consulted people on saying, if you're not going to pick up the phone, you're never going to pick up the phone, because they give me a lot of shoulds. And I say, no, the one thing you should do is hire somebody that will pick up that phone, even if you have to pay them straight commission. If you can't afford them right now, find somebody who wants to do it on the side and do it as straight commission. And because that is a piece of the puzzle a lot of entrepreneurs miss out on.
Okay, I'm glad you said it, because I couldn't have said it as well as you. All right, Patrick.
Or as long as me.
Right, yeah, true, as I look at the clock ticking away. Patrick, what's your takeaway?
Well, I mean, kind of playing off that, I think your team is very important. And for me, my team, that isn't necessarily employees or designers or developers, where my team is, you know, my support system. And I think that's equally important. You know, my support system, being, you know, Addie Kate, of course, she's mm-hmm. my assistant. But, you know, my wife, when I told her, one day I just said, you know what do you think about me just quitting my job and, you know, working from home? And she was like, okay, where do I sign?
Nice.
So she's
nice.
She's had her own stuff going on, but she's always been behind me, and I'm very lucky there. But and even aside from that, my mom just recently retired, so she's my, you know, go-to babysitter. My mother-in-law lives in the next town. She's another go-to babysitter. So they are my team. They are kind of my support system. They always, you know, I call them up, say, hey, I've got a meeting. You mind watching Addie Kate? And they're like, yeah, bring her over. And so That's what I do.
I love it. I love it.
Now you know I had Patrick on the show. Listeners, he's amazing.
Hey, Patrick, it was great having you on the show today. Somebody I can definitely relate to. You can check out everything he has to offer at hirepatrickcooper.com. And if you do decide to work with him, make sure you mention Tracy and Russ, and he'll say who? Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This has been another really fun episode of the Journey to There radio show. Be sure to check out all of the episodes you may have missed. They're online at journeytothere.com as well as iTunes. Now, Patrick, go get back to work and finish watching your daughter grow up.
Of course. Thanks for having me, y'all.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.